This week, we start off with what happens when you overlook or even flat out ignore the obvious. The result of that ignorance can impact a larger playing field just as much as an individual. The continuing revelations regarding a construction contract and Sussex County Community College Board of Trustees has gained the attention certainly of residents, as well as supposedly those with some legal authority, shall we say. My first guest this week is here to explain the missteps of ethics that created this whole situation. He is the co-founder of the Rutgers Institute for Ethical Leadership, James Abruzzo. Good morning, James.
Good morning. Good morning.
You know, when you look at this, James, just for you listening, just as a fast recap, there was a construction job that was put out for a bid, and the bid was won by, I believe, the sole bidder was CP Engineers, a Sparta-based firm, and it turns out that three of the members of the SCCC Board of Trustees also have financial ties to CP Engineers. And, James, for some unusual reason, none of the three thought that they should recuse themselves from voting on whether or not CP Engineers gets the gig.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, early in the introduction, you mentioned legal. And I would say that, you know, the college did the right thing by hiring a law firm that is much more adept at assessing the legality of something. And usually, things like conflict of interests are not legal or illegal. You know, the question really is, what does it look like and what does it feel like? And so when someone takes on a job as a trustee, I like to think of it as in trust for the rest of us. You know?
Yeah, the title sort of gives you a clue of what your main responsibility is.
Yeah, in trust for everybody. The college is owned by every citizen of the state, in a way. So when that happens, then the first and probably the only motivation should be for everybody, and there should be a what I would consider a disinterested approach in making decisions. Disinterested meaning that there's no personal interest. So what happens, and this happens all the time, you know, when you have a business person that's involved, usually they're chosen to be on a board because they have business connections or they're prominent citizens in a city or town. What happens when they are confronted with this potential conflict of interest? And I think that, you know, the best thing is that board members have a kind of an antenna. Their antenna should go up and be up all the time. And feel, gee, is this a conflict of interest? And then they should be able to have a process among themselves where they can honestly and openly ask each other, is this a conflict of interest? The other thing is that, you know, usually a board chair, and I'm speculating here because I don't know, but usually a board chair, just by the title, has a certain amount of power. So a board chair might, in a situation like this, ask the questions of the fellow board members, and then at that point choose to leave the room and ask the board to discuss it. I think that this is the best approach. You know, I think the university, the college, did the right thing by trying to figure out if it was legal or not, and I wouldn't speculate on that. I know that some of the comments in the newspaper were, you know, how could people talk about whether or not something is legal or illegal. They don't know all the facts. Well, we don't know all the facts. That's not the point. The point is this perception. And I think in this case and in many cases of conflict of interest, perception is as important.
I don't know if this is the fair analogy or not, but we've seen in many instances where judges recuse themselves from court cases and trials, even for the most vague of associations to either one of the parties, the defense or the prosecution. And this seems like a lot more direct where, again, if you look at the trustees, Glenn Vetrano, Edward Leppard, and Glenn Gavin, who had these ties to this company, if nothing else, shouldn't either any of the three, all three ideally, bring up as a question, not even a declaration to the chair. gee, Mr. Chairman, I have this connection with CP Engineers. Do you think it would be in the best interest of the Board of Trustees if I just leave the room as you guys take the vote?
Yeah. I think that would have been a good solution. There are other processes that many good boards put in place. For example, each year, board members are asked to fill out a form. This is for nonprofit boards.
Right.
And this form said, do you have any business dealings in any way, you or members of your family, with any of the vendors that does business with the college? You know, list them. It doesn't mean that you can't still be on the board. It just means list them. Just so that everybody becomes conscious of what the facts are. I think the other thing is, look, board service is something that shouldn't be dissuaded. People should be encouraged to serve on boards. They're volunteers. But that doesn't mean that automatically they know what the right thing is. I think there needs to be more training. I think boards need to bring in third parties who will spend an hour or two and take them through some kind of training. You know, not fill out a form and not sit in front of a computer, but really take the time to do it. Certainly, in retrospect, the college would have been much better off had those board members had received more training. Now, I'm assuming that they are, let's say, innocents and victims of their ignorance, which is what they're saying. I'm assuming that. There's no reason for me to assume anything else. But that doesn't mean that they couldn't receive more training.
Although you could make the case with Glenn Vetrano, who always also had been a member of the County Board of Freeholders, he might have been the more well-versed in how the college operates because the county oversees the county college, obviously.
Yeah, he could have been, and maybe he should have been. And I'm not making excuses for him. I'm talking, let me say in general, that they're usually a busy person, has a lot of things on his or her plate, and sometimes they just need to, you know, spend more time on these, quote, volunteer activities. It's fun and newsworthy to pillory someone. And frankly, if there was any wrongdoing, that's just plain old stealing, right? But let's get beyond that. Let's get to that gray area. There's a lot that can be done to clarify the gray area.
Oh, sure, Jeff. I mean, the common phrase is transparency. It's what we want from certainly your government of every levels, but certainly something that's technically, if you're serving on something like this Board of Trustees, you are serving the community in all intents and purposes, and transparency should be an equally vital element of that realm of service.
It should absolutely be, yes. Transparency, disinterestedness, of course, honesty. And the idea that you need to withhold or uphold the highest standards, not only your own standards, but the standards and values of the institution, which, by the way, should be articulated from time to time. You know, this is what we believe in. You'd be surprised that colleges and universities and other nonprofits can go through long histories without saying, these are the things we believe in, and these are the things that we absolutely will not, you know, we have zero tolerance for, those kinds of things.
And all fairness, the college did hire a law firm which had handled situations, I believe, from Rutgers a couple of times, a few other colleges in the state. Sabre Attorneys, I believe they're in central New Jersey, and part of the report reads as follows. After speaking with each of the three trustees who had a relationship with CP, it became apparent that none of them recognized or appreciated what the college ethics code or New Jersey law required of them when votes related to CP came before the college's board. So basically the report is saying they did wrong, it was unintentionally done wrong, and let's all learn from this.
Yeah, I think that's a good summary of what the report is. But it should be a good lesson, don't you think? I mean, what will other community colleges and other colleges and large nonprofits do from now on? Will they take this as a cautionary tale? Will they, you know, bring groups in? Will they bring in the IEL to help train them? Will they even bring in a law firm to help train them? Will they bolster their best practices? They should. You know, how do you undo the bad reputation, the negative reputation that has just befallen this institution? I mean, I never heard of it. That doesn't mean anything, but I've never heard of it. And now the only reason I know about it is in a negative light. That's unfortunate. It's unfortunate for all the students and the faculty.
And for the future of the Board of Trustees.
And
who, you know, what new faces will want to jump into, you know, into a fire pit.
Right, right. And, you know, there's always this, I read some of the articles and there were these insinuations that, you know, some of them were appointed by Christie and Christie had no comment. And that's just an insinuation, right? What, you know, well, I don't take anything from that. But, you know, someone who has it in for Christie could say, oh, well, you know, just another example of whatever. So, but I wouldn't read too much into it. You know, first of all, they need to move on. Secondly, they need to put in place the kinds of processes that will prevent them from doing this again. And, you know, who knows, maybe they could become the model for best practices of colleges,
this is very
of college
true.
Boards. It would be a great thing.
And very true. I've been joined this morning by the co-founder of the Rutgers Institute for Ethical Leadership, James Abruzzo. On the web, it's business.rutgers.edu/IEL. Mr. Abruzzo, thanks so much for your expertise and your insight on this matter this morning.
No, thanks so much. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.